Yes, good morning to you all. This is Daniel King again. I want to just pray that God's blessing and peace would be upon your day today. I have some thoughts here this morning, and it's something that I believe is on God's heart a lot, and that is in the area of faithfulness. I can't help but I find myself recently continually putting myself in God's shoes, knowing that we are created in the image of God. I believe it's one of the reasons that God did that. He created us in His image. It's a little bit like the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule is such a simple rule. In other words, it's easy. It's all of a sudden a whole lot easier to know what someone else might be feeling if we compare it to what we'd be feeling given we were in their shoes, which is basically what the Golden Rule is saying. Well, the same is actually true with God. God is not just a distant being. He's actually very relational. And I think our emotions and feelings are sometimes disregarded as just emotions and feelings. But at the same time, it's the reality of what we are feeling at the time, and I'm just simple enough to believe that God also has emotions and feelings. And I was just reading through Jeremiah 2:3 and all the way up to 4 here, and it becomes very obvious that God is lamenting through Jeremiah. He's lamenting of how Israel has turned. He keeps talking about backsliding. And he keeps lamenting about how Israel has turned back from their first love. And he keeps reminding them of how he was there. And he's the one that brought them through the wilderness. Like in Jeremiah 2, verse 5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination." And I see that a lot where people, when they're first walking with the Lord takes them through some amazing experiences, and oftentimes it's things that look impossible, like it says there was pits. And later on in that chapter, God is marveling at how willingly they followed. They so willingly followed, like a small child will follow his father around, and he will want to be with his father for safety. But it seems that later on in life, as that child gets older and the father puts more responsibility into the gives more responsibility to the child, and the world looks less intimidating as it did, it looks actually manageable, and we start almost like subconsciously wishing or desiring to not have that kind of closeness with our father. I'm talking about our earthly father. And it almost seems the same can happen in our Christian life, where the older we get in the Lord, the more it seems like the more we sort of learn the ropes of Christianity, and the less we rely on God. And we oftentimes do it subconsciously without even realizing, and I think that's why so many times people find themselves slowly being drawn away from that first love. And it's a little bit hard to drum that up on our own. And so it does demand a solution. And if you read there in Jeremiah 2, 3, and 4, God is just going on and on about how both Judah and Israel, he's calling them sisters. And he says how both of them have committed adultery and committed the harlot and were, you know, going after harlots. And what he's basically saying is they were going after things that for security, they were going after things for entertainment. And they were using other means than their first love, that first love of meeting with God and really hearing the heart of God on a day-by-day basis on feeding from Him. And sometimes it takes quite, I guess in Jeremiah there was the introduction there of capture by the Babylonians. And it seems sometimes when we're in that state, it's really about the only thing that can bring us back again is through going through difficult times. But I would like to suggest this morning that it doesn't have to be that way. And what I'm encouraging here is that what I have found to be the solution is to continue to walk, in other words, to continue to grow, but continue to walk into what we know that God is asking us to walk into. In other words, as long as we just take our experience with God in the beginning and try to just then go through life and just continually just be fed by God, but living our life as we see, as we desire, God will actually give us He will give us places to stand. He actually will put His gifts within us, and the exercising of those gifts, in other words, going into the offense, so to speak, and going and making full use of the gifts that God has put within us, will bring about its own fire, if you will. And that fire will continue to burn in us, and thereby we will continually find ourselves crying out and longing for God to come through with whatever circumstance we find ourselves pressing in on. And I believe it's one of the only ways to avoid that honeymoon experience and then the cooling down and eventually losing our first love and then having to go through a painful experience for God to bring us back to Himself again. I do believe that a continual walk of faith. In other words, a continual walk of doing things that, going places and doing things that God is asking us to do, regardless of the cost, regardless of what others think and what's the normal around us. I think that's why, if you look out across Christianity, you can soon tell that you can soon follow that pattern, that those that are going on with the Lord, you know, 3 or 4 years after their walk with the Lord, and then again 10 years and 15 years, and if there's a continual pressing in on the enemy and a continual desire to see Jesus lifted up in every area of their lives, a continual desire to see Jesus lifted up in dark places, going into dark places and desiring that Christ be brought into those places. If we walk with that kind of ministry, in that kind of revival, if you will, if we walk in that kind of service to God, where our goal is to bring the light and the life of Jesus Christ to dark places of the world. In other words, everywhere we go, we desire to make Christ known in that situation. And those things are so much around us. And I've found already that if we walk in that, we can, in a sense, avoid that temptation of backsliding. I do think that God has designed us in such a way that there is a time for the milk, there is a time to feed, there is a time to be fed and to be led. But so many times what people make the mistake in, it's a little bit like an eagle, a young eagle in the nest. There's a time when the Lord wants us to move on. And He doesn't want us to just be in the nest, just on and on. But there's a time when after our birth, our new birth, so to speak, after we've been fed for several years, and after people have ministered to us, it seems like there comes a time when if we don't leave the nest, if we don't try out our wings, if we don't allow ourselves to be taken out of that nest, we by default find ourselves backsliding. And most times it was not even our desire or intentions. We just sort of find ourselves there, and we wonder how we ever lost that. And I think for the most part, it's because we haven't, it's difficult to leave the nest, to leave that security, and to go out and find ourselves vulnerable. But I think the goal that God has for us is, as we have been fed in those first years of our Christian life, God is now wanting us to return that to someone else, to find someone else who is without hope, and to start pouring into them and to start taking up that burden in our hearts. And I think that is how then we will be rescued from this temptation of backsliding, which we find the children of Israel in. They came into a land of plenty, and instead of focusing on being that light and focusing on what God had intended for them, is to have that advantage, but then being the light of the world and reaching out to the nations. Instead, they devoured it for themselves. They took all that blessing and just fed themselves. And I think, and then years down the road, they found themselves in a state where they were wondering where God even was. So may the Lord have his way in our lives. May he continually give us the courage to walk in difficult places, places where there's pain at times, places where there's insecurity, but knowing that he is leading us. So may we pray for another. My prayer is that God would lead us all, especially here in the churches of America, into a place of revival where the fire can burn in the hearts of people once again, and where these resources that we have an advantage here could be used for the glory of God, could be used to reach out to the many suffering. There's many suffering, there's many homeless around the world, there's many without without Christ, in other words, where to walk with God is hardly known. And so may the Lord be with you and bless you.